Get an in-depth look at sports from our resident Big Pole.
The Blitz with Justin Pawlowski. Saturdays at noon on the Sports Animal. 620 WDAE.
Good Friday to you. Actually, Good Friday being next Friday. But a happy Friday to you. And thanks for coming back and checking it out. The rough draft here at JoeBucksFan.com. Sorry about yesterday. I recorded the podcast, and that's what we do. We record them, we convert them, and then we post them. But in the converting process, actually, I had converted it. So I do that all here at the radio station. And then I emailed it to the brain trust of JoeBucksFan.com. I go home. I drive around, do some errands. Then I go back home and notice that Jay Cutler had been already traded, and that was part of the podcast from yesterday. And I said, don't post it, please. Just don't. Because now it's old news. And once again, the Bucks are second fiddle. I've heard different rumors. I've heard rumors that they weren't really that involved. And then I heard a rumor that they were very involved, actually offering a better package of draft picks, but that the Broncos were more enamored with Kyle Orton than Luke McCown. Yet some of you still excited about Luke McCown. Let the Luke McCown era begin. Before we get to, and yesterday was going to be half of our NFC West breakdown, and then we're going to do the other half today. Today I'm just going to mash it all into one. We won't spend a lot of time on these teams because, well, I don't know if a lot of you really want to know exactly what the St. Louis Rams and San Francisco 49ers have really done this offseason and what they're going to do in the draft. So we'll briefly touch on them. And the reason we're doing this once again is because to know what the Bucks are going to do at 19, well, you don't really know who's going to be available. And actually, three of these four teams in the NFC West will be picking in front of the Bucks, which they'll be taking three of the 18 players that will go before the Bucks pick at 19. I do want to quickly a little overview of my mock draft that I previously posted a couple days ago here at JoeBucksFan.com. I decided that with this mock draft, I wanted to go with Jason Smith first. You know, I'm torn. I really am torn. You know, I want to say that Jason Smith will be the first pick. I can convince myself that he'll be the first pick. Jim Schwartz, their new head coach, coming from Tennessee. He was there when Tennessee drafted Vince Young, number three overall. And he was there when Kerry Collins took them to the postseason. Jim Schwartz knows that you can win with great offensive line play, a great run game, and a great defense, and a quarterback that can manage it all. Yet you can get into a big hole if you draft a quarterback high and he doesn't pan out. That's my reasoning for Jason Smith. Matt Stafford, the guy is he's a good quarterback. He's got a strong arm. The Lions want a strong-armed quarterback. And if they want a quarterback in this draft, the first overall pick might be the only place to get him, because there's no guarantee that Stafford or Sanchez is going to be there at 20. And then what do you have? Josh Freeman? Is he worth taking at 20? Is he worth taking at the top of the second round, where I have the Lions actually taking him in this draft? And I hesitated with that, because if the Lions are willing to pass on Stafford, what makes you think that they're going to draft Josh Freeman? Maybe they go with Culpepper. Maybe they go with the guys they have. And Jim Schwartz comes in, and the first point of business is to go improve the offensive line with the first overall pick, and then maybe defense with the next two picks. I did realize, too, doing this draft, that you look at the first couple of teams, the Lions, you know, Jason Smith. I think it is going to come down to Jason Smith or Matthew Stafford. Then you look at the Rams. I think the Rams are going to come down to offensive tackle, Jason Smith, Eugene Monroe, or wide receiver in Michael Crabtree. Then the Kansas City Chiefs. This is where it gets interesting, especially with the Cutler trade going down. And I'm going to talk more about the Cutler trade and its effects on the draft this weekend. But the Kansas City Chiefs at three. I'm starting to get a feeling that the Seattle Seahawks love Mark Sanchez, and I'm starting to get a strong feeling that they're going to draft him with the number fourth selection. Some talk about Chris Beanie Wells going to the Seahawks at four. I don't know if I'm feeling that as much as I'm feeling Mark Sanchez as a potential replacement for Matt Hasselbeck. So if that's the case, and the Denver Broncos view Mark Sanchez as their long-term successor to Kyle Orton, who they did call a short-term replacement, not the long-term answer, just a short-term replacement. Could the Broncos be eyeing a move up in the draft, and the Kansas City Chiefs are the team that I view as a team that could definitely trade down from the number three overall selection, trade down in this draft, pick up two first-round picks right there in the teens, be able to get two guys after they've already traded their second-round pick, and with a transition to the 3-4 defense, the Chiefs could get two draft picks, maybe a Tyson Jackson, who fits them on the defensive line, and an outside linebacker, instead of just getting maybe one linebacker in Aaron Curry. So definitely watch for that as we get closer to the draft. The Seahawks, I think, maybe quarterback, maybe running back, maybe linebacker. But I think if Mark Sanchez is there, that's who the Seahawks are going to go with. Great fit for their West Coast offense. But then you get to the Cleveland Browns, and this is where I think things could really take a turn in this draft, because there's so many different ways that the Browns can go in this draft. Outside linebacker, nose tackle, corner, wide receiver, free safety, tight end. I don't see a tight end going at five, but any of those other positions I do. They could go with a Malcolm Jenkins, who could play corner or free safety. They could go with a B.J. Raji. They could go with Brian Arakpo or Aaron Maben. Maybe even Everett Brown. I have heard that his stock is falling. They could go with a Michael Crabtree. Hell, with Dante Stallworth now facing jail time, you could see a Michael Crabtree going there. And if they do go with the Michael Crabtree, that means Jacksonville doesn't go with Crabtree. That means maybe if Stafford is passed by the Lions, maybe Stafford goes to the Jaguars. I mean, it's going to change everything. And I'm getting a strong feeling after I've been doing all these breakdowns and all this work on the draft. I'll tell you, folks, my head feels like it's going to explode. But after doing all of this work, I'm realizing that, especially with this draft, and every draft is different, but this draft in particular, I don't feel there are many elite players in this draft. I don't really view Matthew Stafford as an elite player. I'm not putting him in the class of a Matt Ryan or a Peyton Manning when they came out. You know, and then looking at some of the other guys, Jason Smith is a converted tight end, and we'll have the breakdown of offensive linemen coming to you this weekend. But he's a converted tight end who played in an offense where he was mostly in a two-point stance because mostly they played shotgun. He still has to work a lot on his technique, does have, you know, great agility. He's got good strength. He's got everything you look for in a franchise left tackle, but his technique's not very good. He's never played in a pro-style offense. Eugene Monroe is a solid left tackle. I compare him to Walter Jones. I mean, he could definitely be, he has the potential to be very good. But elite? I don't know if he's going to be elite. You know, there's really Aaron Curry, maybe Michael Crabtree, although the Crabtree thing is worrying me. You know, I talked about the 2 inches, you know, 6'3", 6'1", that's a big difference for a wide receiver, not to mention no 40 time. You know, what if this guy would have gone out and run a 4.55 or close to a 4.640 and just showed that maybe he's not that fast, but he's got great hands? Well, if that's the case, he's not really going to just take over games by himself, is he? I still think he's the second best player in this draft, and I think Aaron Curry's the best player in this draft. And maybe those two players are the only elite players in this draft. B.J. Raji now with a failed drug test. We'll see what more comes out about that. And people making a big deal about that. Remember, too, Gaines Adams, Calvin Johnson, and Amobi Okoye all had failed drug tests with marijuana, and they all went in the top 10 a couple years ago. So don't read too much into that. This isn't the Warren Sapp draft. And even Warren Sapp, he didn't fall that far. He did fall, just not that far. But Calvin Johnson went 2 overall. Gaines Adams went 4 overall. So don't read too much into that. Raji, I don't know if he's going to be an elite player. The point I'm trying to make is that you look at picks 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19 where the Bucks are picking, and I think you can get just as good talent in the second round at right around those picks, right around the middle of the second round as you can in the first round. I mean, I'm having a tough time piecing together my mock draft because I have guys falling who I think are damn good football players. And the reason why is because this draft is very deep, especially into the second round. And that frustrates me because the Bucks gave away a second round draft pick for an often injured, big mouth, wanting a new contract, tight end. And I emphasize tight end because that's not really a premier player, premier position in the NFL. Look at some of these names that I have falling to the middle of the second round in my mock draft. Brandon Pettigrew, who some consider the best tight end in the draft. He's there in the middle of the second round. Larry English, who I had the Bucks taking at 19 just a couple weeks ago. I have him falling now to the second round just because there's so many good players. Darius Hayward Bay, Michael Johnson, the defensive end out of Georgia Tech, Alphonso Smith, cornerback. These guys are good players falling to the middle of the second round. And then you look at, you know, I went back and I looked at the teams at the end of the first round and I said, you know, am I going to drop Clay Matthews or Vontae Davis? Am I going to drop Brian Cushing or Evander Hood? Jaron Gilbert? It's deep. And it's frustrating because now the Bucks don't have a second-round pick to test how deep this draft really is. And I think it's deep through the second round. Once you get to the third round, the talent level really drops off. And that's unfortunate because that's when the Bucks have another pick is halfway through the third round. All right, a quick breakdown of the NFC West. Last year, the Arizona Cardinals not only winning the division, winning the NFC Championship, going to the Super Bowl, they did lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers in a thriller, one of the best Super Bowls we've seen. They've had an interesting offseason. Carlos Dansby, their franchise player, they designated that this offseason. Also re-signing Kurt Warner, Clark Hagans, and Bertrand Berry. They did bring in Bryant McFadden, cornerback from the Steelers. Remember that Steeler connection there. Eric Green, however, their starting cornerback, he leaves. He's going to the Miami Dolphins. J.J. Arrington gone to the Broncos. Antonio Smith gone to the Houston Texans. Last year, they did draft a couple of defensive players, Dominique Rogers-Cromartie and Calais Campbell. You look at this year's draft, Running back could definitely be a possibility. Edgerrin James still not happy in Arizona. They did draft Tim Hightower last year as well, but they want an every down back. Defensive end, even with Antonio Smith leaving to go to the Texans, but Calais Campbell stepping in to become the starter, I still think they want another defensive end in there along with defensive tackle to play next to Darnell Dockett. And left tackle, remember from the Super Bowl, I remember James Harrison running right by Mike Gandy time and time again. And I think for the Arizona Cardinals, if James Harrison didn't get by Mike Gandy, there was a holding call called on Mike Gandy in that game. He was definitely the Achilles heel for them there. I think left tackle could be a position that they might eye in this year's draft. I do have them taking Eben Britton. I'm a little skeptical about that pick. He's the best offensive tackle on the board. However, he's more of a right tackle than a left tackle, and I do think that the Arizona Cardinals need a left tackle, so look for that to be revisited in my next mock draft, probably coming out in a couple of weeks, if not right before the draft. I mean, we're getting close to draft day. The San Francisco 49ers came in second place in the NFC West last year, 7-9 on the season. No playoffs for them. Mike Singletary taking over. Actually did a good job at the end of last year. They did re-sign Takeo Spikes, Allen Rossum. They also went out. Not some big names that they brought in free agency, but they made some solid moves. Marvell Smith, who's going to play opposite of Joe Staley on the offensive line at offensive tackle. Brandon Jones comes in, replacing Bryant Johnson. Brandon Jones coming over from the Tennessee Titans as a wide receiver, a role player, not a go-to guy, but a role player in the offense. And Damon Heward comes in, quarterback from the Kansas City Chiefs. He'll battle with Sean Hill, Alex Smith, to see who's going to be the starting quarterback there next year. No JT O'Sullivan, though. He's gone, along with Tully Bantakane. Jonas Jennings just cut a couple weeks ago. And Brian Johnson, who we told you about. Full slate of draft picks for the 49ers this year. Look for them to go, especially in the first round. Now that they got their offensive tackle, I don't know if they go with another offensive tackle. Outside linebacker in a 3-4, a guy who's going to rush the quarterback, a possibility, and wide receiver. That's why I have them going Percy Harvin in my mock draft, because, you know, the San Francisco 49ers, they might have guys like Brandon Jones and Isaac Bruce. You got a Josh Morgan. You got a Jason Hill. You know, good, you know, they're decent. They're not great. But you get a Percy Harvin in there who could add another dimension to your offense and to your special teams, a speed guy and a big play threat anytime he touches the ball. The Seattle Seahawks were the third place division in the division last year, 4-12 on the season. It was a long season, the last season for Mike Holmgren in Seattle. Matt Hasselbeck dealt with injuries all year long. This offseason, they named Leroy Hill their franchise player, placed the franchise tag on him. He's a linebacker. Ray Willis also re-signed with the Seahawks. He's an offensive tackle. The key additions for the Seahawks this year, defensive tackle Colin Cole, who was flirting with the Bucs, then goes to Seattle, gets a big deal, actually. I believe it was $25 million, right around 10 or 15 guaranteed for Colin Cole to go there and play the nose tackle. And Casey Bradley, former Buccaneer linebackers coach, he's now the defensive coordinator in Seattle. He's got a new nose tackle and a new under tackle. They traded Julian Peterson to the Detroit Lions for Corey Redding. So new defensive tackles in there for Seattle, which I thought was maybe their biggest need, their second biggest need, wide receiver. They get TJ Houshmandzadeh in free agency as well. They did have some losses. Rocky Bernard to the New York Giants. Maurice Morris, their backup running back, goes to the Detroit Lions. And Bobby Engram, one of their wide receivers, goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. Another full slate of draft picks for the Seattle Seahawks. We talked about them. Mark Sanchez. Could Mark Sanchez be on the radar as a possible replacement for Matt Hasselbeck? Also running back Chris Beanie Wells and offensive line Eugene Monroe. You know, Walter Jones getting up there in age. I compare Eugene Monroe to Walter Jones. I think that would be an excellent pick. I just don't know if you're going to see Eugene Monroe fall to the fourth overall selection, but if he's there, look for that to be the pick if Mark Sanchez is in the pick. But look for them to go maybe offense with that first round pick and then maybe the best player available in the second round. The final team we'll talk about here in the NFC West, the St. Louis Rams, 2-14 on the season from last year. Sean Linehan fired. In comes new coach Steve Spagnuolo, coming from the Giants. He's going to bring that Giant mentality. He was the defensive coordinator for the Giants. So you're going to expect physical play on both sides of the ball. They bring in re-sign Ron Bartel, also bringing in James Butler from the Giants, a safety. He should be able to step in and play right away for the Rams this year. They did have some losses. The two biggest losses of all, though, Orlando Pace, who just recently, yesterday, signed with the Chicago Bears in their big day of spending, and also Torrey Holt was released. And that leads me right to the two biggest needs for the Rams coming up in this draft is going to be offensive tackle, left tackle. I think they want to keep Alex Barron on the right side at right tackle. So a left tackle in this year's draft and a wide receiver. That's why the big debate for the Rams is going to be Jason Smith, Eugene Monroe, the two top offensive tackles, or Michael Crabtree. But I could see them going with any three of those players in the first round. A full slate of draft picks for the Rams as well. They've done some good drafting the past couple of years in getting some good young defensive players. Chris Long, last year's first-round pick, defensive end. Adam Carricker, a defensive tackle, first round in 2007. Those guys come in. Donnie Avery's their speed receiver. That's why I didn't think they need a possession guy on the other side. Michael Crabtree would look good. But they could get, the Rams are in position because they're going to have a high second-round pick. One of those receivers is going to fall to them in the second round. So maybe look for a Hakeem Nicks, Kenny Britt, Darius Hayward-Bey, any of those guys could fall to the Rams at the top of the second round. That's our rough draft for today. We'll be back with rough drafts over the weekend. Rough draft, of course, being this podcast. We've got a breakdown of the offensive linemen coming out this weekend. I'm going to update my blitz board. I promise I'm going to do this on my webpage at 620wdae.com, so you can check that. The blitz board being where I rank the top 100 players in this year's NFL draft, so you can check that there. And check back for updates both on my webpage at 620wdae.com, keyword blitz, and right here at joebucksfan.com.
The Blitz, Saturdays at noon, only on 620 WDAE, the sports animal.